The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap of the Genesis Invitational. And joining me to break it all down, it's Kyle Porter. KP, what's going on?
Not much. It's been, what golf we've seen has been fun. It's been great. Best field of the year. You know, Patrick Cantlay said this. We'll talk about Cantlay probably in a second, but he's like, this is the best course that we go to by far on the PGA Tour. And I think that's doesn't include obviously major championship venues, but high praise from everybody in the field this week.
Not only that, and as much as I love Riviera, I guess it's been shut down for the last 2 months, and they are saying these greens are the best POA greens anyone has ever seen. They're rolling about as pure as you could possibly ask for greens to play. So you're right, nothing but high praise around here.
Well, and that's what a lot of guys were talking about. Who was it? Maybe Adam Scott was saying that. Scott was like lights out with his putter today. So,
yeah,
you know, it had to be rolling pretty smooth for him. I think what's going to be super interesting is to see what they do with the course over the next 3 days, because I think it's at a place where it's pretty fast and firm, and it's. It's so good right now that they could turn it up a little bit and you could see like 8 under win. That sounds stupid on Thursday night when the lead is 7 under, but I don't think that's out of the question. Do you?
No, I don't. We've seen this thing get a bit spicy, and yeah, we were already hearing the firm and fast stuff like on Tuesday and Wednesday. You usually don't hear that until like the real weekend when this can get pretty crispy. So for sure. And the course played almost exactly to par. A hair over par on Thursday. So it can certainly bite back, but it's Sam Burns who posts an opening round 64, 7 under, made a bunch of putts as you normally need to do to go out and shoot, be the best round of the day. But KP, if you've been following along, if you've been paying attention to golf this year, this shouldn't be all that big of a surprise. Sam Burns' ceiling has been great this season.
It really has. And I came into the year, I can't remember what his first tournament was. Was it Sony? I think obviously he didn't play Tournament of Champions. I think it was Sony. And I was really big on him, his first few events. And he sort of kind of met that expectation, but he's been doing it a little differently. And this is where I'm curious about your take on this, because we're both pretty deep into a lot of the numbers stuff. He's a really good ball striker. He hasn't been quite as good as he normally is so far in 2021, but he's been putting it really well. So it's sort of made up for it to where I think he's actually playing at a level that he can sustain, even if it is sort of constructed differently. And we saw it kind of married on Thursday, because he was first on approach shots and like third or fourth with the putter. I think this is sustainable. I don't know that he's going to win just because the guys that are behind him, but I don't think he's the kind of guy that goes 64, 76 and he's sweating the cut on Friday night.
Right. Yeah. I tend to agree with you. He is just an absolute bomber off the tee too, man. The guy can absolutely crush it. And his putter, what's kind of interesting is some guys you get these really good ball strikers and then the putter either doesn't exist or he can never get hot. Like that is so volatile for him. When he goes out and gains 3.5 strokes, like he did on Thursday, he's your first round leader. Now he can lose 3.5 strokes tomorrow, but that doesn't mean he's going to shoot a 79 or a 78. He might just shoot like a 71. So it is interesting to see he's trying to manage the floor while also trying to embrace the ceiling, which is always a fun thing to watch. It might not always be fun for him.
what do you think his best finishes on the PGA Tour ever? Do you know it off the top of your head?
No, but I bet you it's like a T. I mean, he's got to have a T4 somewhere, right?
Yeah, he finished, I got it pulled up. He finished T3 at the 2018 Sanderson.
Okay.
And then
I knew he had a top 10 in Houston earlier, but I didn't know where, what it was.
Yeah, he was T7 at Houston last year. So okay. I don't know. Like, there's not a ton of experience there, but I also feel strangely confident about him just because I think his makeup is real. Like, I feel better about him than I do about a Matthew Fitzpatrick sitting at 5 under. And maybe I shouldn't, because Fitzpatrick is historically a better player. He won a USAM. He's won on the European Tour. I don't know. How do you view, like, those two, like, two guys, like, or specifically those two guys right now?
Yeah, it is weird because Sam Burns has not been like Matthew Fitzpatrick is the 20th ranked player in the world. Like, that's
I know.
Kind of crazy. So with, like, he's probably the most disrespected top 20, top 25 player in the world, because I still feel like I'd rather have Sam Burns in a lot of situations, right? Because of that, like, if you're asking me about this week, I'm like, yeah, Sam Burns has a better chance of winning this golf tournament than Matthew Fitzpatrick does, and that's probably not true. It's Fitzpatrick who goes out and shoots a 66 on Thursday. He's in contention. He usually does it with the flat stick, with the short game, so no surprise to see that he gained 3 strokes on the greens. But yeah, I mean, I was just pulling up his logs, and to see him ranked 20th in the world, I was still jarred by that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think some of sort of what I'm feeling right here with we'll call it Burns versus Fitzpatrick, but you could slot in another couple of guys that are kind of the same categorically, is I think Riviera plays into a lot of that for me. I think Burns is just a better ball striker for that type of place. I mean, it just is, it's very demanding, and especially with your approach shots. And that's where but then I look back at last year and Fitzpatrick almost wins Memorial, or he finished, you know, T3, he didn't almost win. I guess John Rahm kind of ran away with it, but Fitzpatrick he's interesting because he sort of doesn't fit into a box. You know, he's, right. I guess a little Spiethian, but not as good of an iron player, where he kind of slaps it around a little bit, but then he just scores. And I think that's, I don't know, he's very mature in that sense. He just puts scores together. So at some point we have to kind of look away from some of the data and say, I don't know, man, he just pops up on leaderboards and contends.
He puts the ball in the cup for sure. He won in Europe at the end of last year. He won the DP World Tour Championship, probably overlooked because that's the event that decides the race to Dubai. So Lee Westwood gets all of the press there, but it's Fitzpatrick who was the one hoisting the trophy on Sunday afternoon. So that's probably why he gets even more overlooked. Before we jump into some of the big boys in this field, remember that Paramount Plus kicking right now. You've probably seen the commercials, the Journey to Mount Paramount speech featuring Beefy Bryson himself, and that's because Paramount Plus is live sports, breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment. You can go straight from game day to movie night with Paramount Plus. Stream iconic movies like The Godfather, Indiana Jones, and Mission Impossible, and new episodes of critically acclaimed original series like Star Trek Picard, The Good Fight, and The Stand. And get this, it's where you can dive into live sports from us, CBS Sports, including the NFL, March Madness, the Masters, and Champions League Soccer. Plus, as if I needed to say anymore, stream hit shows from CBS, Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Smithsonian Channel, and Comedy Central. It's live sports, it's breaking news, a mountain of entertainment. Paramount Plus streams March 4th. I do this thing on Wednesdays, or excuse me, on Thursdays and Fridays, KP. Essentially, my wife, friend of the pod, she says, oh, what's Justin Thomas doing? What's Bryson DeChambeau doing? What's Rory up to? And I kept saying, basically dead last, really struggling, right? Like, where are all the big, this leaderboard looks like it's upside down. Justin Thomas, as we speak, 5 over par in a tie for 116th. Bryson DeChambeau, he's got one hole to play. He's 4 over, T108. I mean, this was certainly not expected.
No, I don't know what's going on with JT. Although I did look back at his, so start of 2020, he wins Kapalua. And then he goes 2 missed cuts in 3 events. I can't remember what the it was. I think it was here, actually. It was, I think he missed Sony. He finished high in maybe Phoenix. And then he missed the cut at Riviera. So I don't, long term, I never worry about JT. But he's been kind of low key, not very good since Kapalua. He missed the cut in, what was that, Dubai?
Yeah, the Abu Dhabi HSBC.
Abu Dhabi, yeah. And then he played fine at Phoenix and then is probably not going to make the cut here. The Bryson thing to me is actually more understandable. This is what I tweeted this out. This is what I thought was going to happen at Wingfoot, where you're just trying to murder the ball. And this is something that Cantlay talked about as well. He's like, you have to like think about where your leaves are off the tee, because it, just the way the course is set up, you can't just be hitting it wherever. And that's why you and I were on there like idiots saying Bryson's definitely going to miss the cut or definitely not going to win at Wingfoot. This is exactly what I thought was going to happen, to where he's like a, I think he, last time I looked, he was 0 strokes gained off the tee. So he's still murdering it. It's all over the yard. But the problem is it sets him up for disaster from 150 yards and in, because he doesn't have any angles. That's what happened at Memorial last year. He missed the cut there because he didn't leave himself any angles at all. So that one to me is more explainable than the Rory and JT.
So JT just made a double on 17. That's a par 5. So he's now 7 over. He gone. That he's not going to be around for the weekend. Bryson, to that point, so with one hole to play, waiting for these strokes gain numbers to come through, he is a half a stroke negative on off the tee, which is obviously not what Bryson does, but it's also not terrible, right? I mean, it's just a half a stroke to the field. But then here's the big one. I mean, he's losing, you know, over a stroke on approaches because he's so out of position. I mean, the weird thing about Riviera, 7,500 square feet greens on average, that is in the larger third of PGA Tour greens, yet you miss more greens here than tour average because you got to have the right angle, because there's a lot of places where the greens run off, so there's not really like usable area on the green. So it's a really weird dynamic, and when you're playing out of position like Bryson has all day on Thursday, it is just a way to compound errors and create disaster.
Dude, Riviera is sweet, by the way. Awesome. I mean, we talk about it every year, but just the way – and I'm not deep in the golf course architecture stuff, but the way the greens are set up and like some of the, like the contours, like leading into the greens where you can kind of run it up, you can run it up a bank and kind of roll it over to the next tier, like all these different things. It's just, it's what you think of when you think of a great golf course. And I think what's real, I was thinking about this leading into the tournament, it's led to some weird winners over the years. I mean, think about in the last decade, we've gotten John Merrick, we've gotten James Hahn, we got JB Holmes 2 years ago that are beating the DJs and Adam Scotts of the world. Those guys have also won this, obviously. But I wonder what the reason for that is, because you would think, like, conventional wisdom is that it elevates the best guys in the world. Those are the best shot makers. They're hitting the best shots. Those shots are rewarded disproportionately at a place like Riviera. Like, they're rewarded more at Riviera than they are at some of the other courses that the PGA Tour goes to. So I wonder what the reason behind some of those lesser named guys winning the golf tournament is.
I think a lot of Riviera, when you're out of position, is a bit random. So I think of 10. 10 is the perfect hole. 10, especially, oh my God, these guys who have to play it at 6:55 in the morning as their first hole, it's and just get slapped awful in the face with a double, like Morikawa this morning, my God, doubles it out of the gate. But like, if you go over the green at 10, if you're in the back bunker, that's fine. Everybody who was in the early wave in the back bunker made birdie at 10. But if you're over 10 green, you can get into these kind of moguls where if you're on the upslope, you can kind of throw it up. It's not as bad. But if you're on the downslope, you're dead. And that's the difference between a square foot, Nick Faldo, a square foot. And you could have a either terrible situation or a really great situation. So I think it introduces a bit more randomness, KP, which is why I think you see some of these more random winners.
Yeah, I do wonder also, like, if some of these top guys have just been trained to like just basically be Bryson, where they're just muscling up and hitting it as far as possible and going to get it and playing this point and shoot golf, to where they've not forgotten, but it's just more difficult for them to to play a classic course. Now, that's probably a bad argument because that would be true of lesser name guys as well. But I don't know. It's just something that I've thought about a lot as it relates to Riviera over the last decade or 15 years.
We're going to talk about the live odds here, but real quick, T.H. Kim, this guy goes birdie, eagle, start. He aces number 16, wins himself a Genesis. I'm just going to read off the weird, like, stars aligning stats for T.H. Kim here. So first of all, the guy hasn't played outside of Asia as a pro in 16 years. The last player to make a hole in one in his first career PGA Tour rounds, Augusto Nunez. Remember him? 2018 Corrales Punta Cana. T.H. Kim, the 2020 Korean Tour Order of Merit winner, has an ace and is 5-under through 10 holes in his PGA Tour debut. That's what I was referring to. And then his last Korean Tour win, as if we needed any more stars to align. And of course, Justin Ray with all of these great numbers, the Genesis Championship. My God, this guy is just like primed to win this golf tournament, isn't he?
Who do you... that would be up there with John Merrick. I think he was 1,000-1. I also think Andrew Putnam beat Rory and Bryson, Rory Bryson best ball.
Wow,
that's not good.
I knew he beat them, but a best ball, yes, but that would be amazing. I'd have to look at that.
What was this Augusto fellow? What was his last name?
Yes, Augusto Nunez, 2018 Corrales Punta Cana.
Who do you think he was named after? Was it after Augusto? Was it after, Augustine? Like, what's the
great question? I'm gonna say he was named after his great grandfather Augusto. Like, you know, I don't know. I'm sure it's something like that. I'm just gonna go with the favorite family name.
TH Kim stuff is, I mean, him winning this would be absolutely insane. How did he even get in the field?
Sponsors exemption, I think. I'm pretty sure it was a sponsors exemption.
I think he fell off. Where's he at now?
He might have. Here he is. Let's see. Okay, he's 2-under. He's played 12 holes. So he just went – he went double on number 2 and then bogey on 3. So he's bleeding here.
This thing's not going to be over for 2 more hours.
It's crazy.
We might have to have overnight results on T.H. Kim.
We're going to have a round 1.5 recap episode. Looking forward to the rest of this, it is no surprise that Dustin Johnson is our betting favorite, thanks to our friends over at William Hill. He just goes out, you know, unfazed, 3-under 68. Patrick Cantlay, the most quiet 67. He's 4-under par. Brooks Koepka. So it's Cantlay and Koepka at 7-1. Sam Burns, who's your leader, 10-1. Joaquin Neiman, Matthew Fitzpatrick make up the 14-1. So looking at this, you know, we've talked about what a unbelievable stretch that Patrick Cantlay is on right now and how he's a big problem. He's sitting there at 7-1.
Yeah, so I'm really frustrated at myself about Cantlay. That was just so easy to call coming in. And you know, not just his form. Obviously, it's been good, but he's played well here. I think he finished like T3 or T2 here a couple years ago. And it's just set the course. It just sets up so perfectly for somebody like him, who's awesome off the tee, who's, I don't know, one of the 3 or 4, 5, 6 best iron players in the world. I'm really, I don't know. It was the thing, and you always talk about this. We discount guy, or I don't know what. That's not the right word. We look at guys who have recent good history and say, oh, wait, that's not repeatable. You know, we almost like it's the only, what do you say? It's the only sport
in the world where we penalize the guy who was the best in the world last week.
Yeah, it's true. And some of that is fair because you get into these hot putting weeks and it's like, well, statistically that is like you can't do that again. But his numbers at Pebble last week were not a result of just a hot putting week. He putted it well, especially in the first round, but that was not what carried him. So I'm just, I don't know. I'm kicking myself for what was he at pre-tournament, like 16, 14?
I think he was at 14. So he's been cut in half. He's down to 7 and he's 3 shots back of what the overnight lead is likely to be.
Well, would you rather have Cantlay at 7 or DJ at 4?
Well, I mean, Cantlay has a one shot lead on him. I would probably still think it's Cantlay in this spot.
Yeah,
I think it's close, but I think it's Cantlay. Nearly twice the odds. He has a shot lead, and there's no reason to think that Patrick Cantlay can't win a golf tournament.
I like Neiman at 14. I like Rahm at 18. But I think I like Cantlay at 7 the most. Spieth at 28. It's tasty.
He's lurking. Mark actually had Cantlay on his card for this week, 18-1.
Yeah, I like that. Spieth's playing well, dude. I mean,
I know.
So I was looking at, I don't have his numbers in front of me. So he's up to 9 straight rounds, positive strokes gained approach, which for him is, that's the game. I mean, we've talked about it a million times. Driver is whatever. Putter is going to come and go. It's all about, are you striking the golf ball? And right now he's at 0.05 gained.
I was going to say he's right at it.
we're on the knife's edge of whether this streak continues, but the fact that he's putting it together is, it's meaningful. I mean, it just is. And so I still have not officially declared him back. I don't know if you've released a public statement yet, but no. I'm getting very, very, very close.
All right. Well, we're going to keep an eye on obviously all, I mean, we're going to have some big names who are likely to miss the cut. Jordan Spieth, certainly hopeful that he's in contention again this week. Dustin Johnson, Patrick Cantlay lurking. So we'll keep an eye on everything and we'll be back after each round of this tournament. But for now, that's Kyle Porter. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been the First Cut and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.